First person will come, a man will come, committee will come to order. At least later we will get a few more people in. But I think we're now within quorum limits, and so Kirk will take it off. We're going to depart a little bit perhaps from the normal schedule of events. That's why I was kind of waiting for others to arrive so we don't have to repeat ourselves, but whatever. I think we are all interested in good transportation policy, including good transportation funding policy, proper funding for our transportation needs. I got a feeling that many on this committee are not aware of the several transportation packages, six that I'm aware of that have been offered, and the financing mechanisms that are being used to support the various plans that have been offered. And I think more people should be aware of what our transportation. We've looked extensively at the needs, but we haven't looked, and I know this is not the finance committee, but nevertheless, there's got to be some other people that are interested in making knowledgeable votes. So we're going to spend some time on an explanation and discussion of the various funding tools available, and then each member of the committee will be given a worksheet to construct a funding package that they can live with, that they think they would like, maybe even go for sometime. When I collect those, we didn't only pass them out enough to each committee members, and then I'll pack them. I don't want your names on them or your social security numbers or anything, but I'd like to have you mark them up and hand them in, and we will compile the results, and next week we will disclose what you have on your minds collectively, if anything. So the first thing that I wanted to call your attention to was a piece of your packet called the Estimate of Unfunded Transportation Needs in Minnesota. This is what we spent the first several weeks of the committee going over from the various from the transit system, from the local, the county people, and the Department of Transportation, and ad infinitum. And that, by most accounts, amounts to over $1 billion. So we're looking at the one, just so that you have that in one spot, that's $1.6 billion plus, to remind you that we were looking at big amounts. And from there, we're going to ask Mr. Williams to go over the options that have been used or could be used to fund the transportation package. And that's in your packet under Funding Alternatives for Transportation. Now, please feel free to ask questions as we go through this, so you have an understanding when you get to the worksheet of what you I would tell you that this is not John Williams' work, but the Transportation Alliance put together the list. I don't know, is a gas tax, no matter who puts this together, I guess so. But whatever. And I'd like to call on John to go to Mr. Williams to go through the funding alternatives that are available for transportation and any others that he might see fit.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Was this estimated on unmet needs also, their document as well? It's no, not attributed to anybody.
It was put together by the Alliance as we went through our various amounts. I think I ever got 1.4, they got 1.6, because I don't have any points of freight, rail, or air on mine. And the rest of it comes from all the MnDOT and so forth. It was well over a billion, if you remember. But this is annual, by the way. If you take this MnDOT alone on their statewide plan, it was in the 30 billions less the 14 billion already coming down the pipeline and leaving them a net of about 24 billion over the next X amount of years. Yeah? Big numbers are the point, and that's what we're describing right now. Mr. Williams.
Mr. Chairman, the document I'll be referring to is headed Funding Alternatives for Transportation. These are grouped into a few broad categories, beginning with motor fuel taxes, either increasing the rate of the gas tax or indexing the gas tax to inflation, or a combination of the two. The second broad category is motor vehicle taxes, increasing license tab fees by changing the depreciation schedule, increasing or eliminating the caps on automobile license taxes, or changing the tax rate from 1.25% of base value, or increasing the minimum tax. Also included in the motor vehicle tax category would be wheelage taxes. These would be imposed by counties rather than by the state by eliminating certain restrictions in existing law that make these an impractical revenue source. Third option is weight distance tax on trucks. This has been referred to very infrequently in recent years and is something that Minnesota has never had. It is a tax on commercial vehicles based usually on their total ton miles traveled in the state. And finally, a mileage tax. This is a tax that is not used in any state currently. It would be a tax that would be based directly on the number of miles that each vehicle travels. The third broad category would be sales taxes. These include the motor vehicle sales tax, dedicating a portion greater than the current dedicated portion, which is approximately 54%. One proposal has that percentage being increased to 80%. The governor's proposal would have that increased to 100% by fiscal 2008. Another option would be increasing the sales tax on motor vehicles, either by raising the rate above the current 6.5% or by imposing a surcharge on each transaction. Also included in this category would be a metropolitan area sales tax, either imposed in the current 7 counties or in an expanded metropolitan transportation district of 11 counties. Sometimes this has been accompanied by a referendum, sometimes not. Sometimes it comes with a limited time period, such as 10 years, sometimes not. An alternative to this would be to give all counties, both metropolitan and out, and otherwise, the authority to levy a sales tax for transportation. Another version would be to increase the state sales tax and dedicate the increase to transportation, or to extend the current 6.5% sales tax for gasoline currently gasoline on which the excise tax has been paid is exempt from the 6.5% sales tax. Highway-based revenue sources include toll financing, the use of fast lanes, toll lanes, or HOV buy-ins or hot lanes. Property-based revenue sources were discussed in front of the committee earlier this session, where a fee would be imposed on either all property or on building permits based upon the estimated trip generation capacity of that property or of the property governed by the permit with the revenues dedicated to highway improvements. Financing options, the final broad category, includes issuance of new trunk highway bonds that may be backed by an increase in the gas tax or an increase in motor vehicle sales tax revenues. Also would be included would be the increased use of general obligation bonds, which now are used for local bridges and the local road improvement fund. And the final category would be additional authorization for the state to use advanced construction funds of the federal government to advance certain projects. Mr. Chairman, that is a very brief overview of the major funding options that are available to the committee.
Questions? Everybody understands perfectly well how they can put together a $1 billion plan now, or $500 million. Right? Okay, that's great. Now, I think the next step then is we'll hand out a worksheet, so you give you a little time to scribble on that and figure out what you think our transportation funding package should be.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, do you intend to give members more than just this committee meeting to fill out their plan? When would you anticipate?
I'm anticipating doing it right now.
Okay.
And whatever time it takes, but I don't expect anybody to take more than a half hour because he's looking here and looking there and asking questions. And excuse me?
No.
What?
A sharp number two. I got that thing by
So if that's all right, Representative Larson, I don't want anybody to lose sleep over this tonight, so we just thought we'd take a look.
Yes. Mr. Chair, I'm not sure we'd lose sleep over it. I think that one alternative to it, although you're the chair and you get to make the rules, would be that members perhaps would have a day or so to think about it and work through some of these things. And that would be an alternative proposal, but...
We're not going to set anything in stone here, but I think while we have everybody gathered where they can ask questions, and to keep the lobbyists out of the way here, I think, too, if we, for the various plans that are out there on the table, let's see what you're comfortable with. If you're comfortable with the gas tax, or you're not comfortable with the gas tax, or you're comfortable with trunk highway bonds, or you're not comfortable with trunk highway bonds, whatever the case may be.
Okay.
I don't want to know who. If you'd like to put your name on it, that's fine, but I don't really care.
Thinking about mortgages.
Isn't that the
index? How much are we supposed to come up 1 billion?
Who doesn't have a sheet?
Have this sheet.
I got everyone that.
These two aren't.
Well, here's the dispatching service and waste stuff for the thing.
All we do is marketing. No, it says specify.
Where does
it
say?
Let's see.
Does it say indicate amount of energy?
Please list it next to the smart.
Do we have John come down too? We need John too.
No, there are people like the bit.
Is this an open book test, Mr.
Yeah, you can ask questions, or you have your funding alternatives right there. What? So if you have any questions on those, Representative Stevenson, you can address that to Mr. Williams or the group or whatever.
How much is the transportation
choice? How much is the transportation?
Yeah.
You've got the funding alternatives.
I'll just say.
I think it adds an additional 22% for Metro Transit and an additional 3.75% for outstate transit leaves highways the same.
Okay, but make that note in there. It's just an error.
Yeah.
How are we doing? Does somebody need a little more time? Another 5 minutes? Is that through it? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
How long have you been looking at
this? Long time.
All week in Mexico. You're giving us
money. No, for 3 years I've been looking at it. I think the point is that a lot of people are going to be voting on things that they don't know what the hell they're voting on, so we ought to be able to discover some of it here. How are we doing? I'm getting we're now after the tea and compass. We're still looking on transportation, right?
So they go for the AMC?
Right?
I rounded a few numbers off.
What are we doing to it?
Oh, VDR. I have that. The opposite. I think it's done like water treatment, so maybe for the last 1 to 3 years.
I go to the office.
It would be somewhere between 1/2 and 3/4 of a cent, I believe.
Pete, you want to, because I'm going to be presenting this, you want to do that? Is everybody done now? And you get them all from over here?
Got them filled up for Sherman Earhart.
I think it's
that was on the bottom line where it said other.
Okay, wait. Do we have them all now? We have them from over there.
Camille, let's finish picking those up, and I think then we'll move on and to Chairman Earhart's omnibus bill. And Chairman Earhart, do you want to present your bill and walk us through it, or do you want Mr. Williams to? You've got a,
well,
you have a delete all amendment in there.
We have a delete all amendment.
Rule 373, everybody should have that in your packet.
I'm going to move, Mr. Chairman, A050373 minus Article 2, Section 2. A couple got in here that we're not supposed to.
Where are we?
217 and 18. What page, Article? What page, Mr. Williams?
Mr. Chairman, on the in the amendment in Article 2, the following section should be deleted because they are bills that have been referred to the Transportation Finance Committee. These include Article 2, Section 2 on page 13, and Article 2, Section 17 and 18 on page 25.
And certainly as most of page 25, that's for sure. Does everybody have that? Anybody want?
One more time.
One more time, Mr. Williams, please.
Mr. Chairman, the amendments would be to delete Article 2, Section 2 on page 13 and 14, and also Article 2, Sections 17 and 18 on page 25.
Article 2 is not necessary.
What about the article? Okay, very good. Got it. No problem.
If everyone has that, then I'd like
everybody to... Everybody has that?
Mm. 17 and 18 on page 25.
So it's lines 5 through 33 on page 25. Everybody have that? Mr. Williams, then you want to go through the bill for us, or Mr. Representative Everett?
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, the bill is in two articles. Article 1 is the original House File 945, the Department of Transportation housekeeping bill, minus a couple of sections that had previously been deleted because they have fiscal impact. Section 1 amends the law on, Article 1, Section 1, amends the law on the governing the logo sign program on trunk highways to delete the requirement that food service businesses must serve meals prepared on the premises in order to be eligible to have their logo on the sign. Sections 2 and 4 are similar in that they allow the county state aid rules advisory committee and the municipal state aid rules advisory committee to use the expedited rural procedures for adopting their rules. Sections 3 and 5 are similar in that they reduce the amount of time that individuals have to submit objections to requests for variances from a county state aid rule or a municipal state aid rule. These are requests for variances submitted to the State Aid Rules Committee. Section 6 repeals a limitation on the amounts that cities can advance from their municipal state aid street apportionments. Section 7 and 8 are similar in that they allow cities and counties to spend their state aid monies on projects that are located outside the city or county, respectively, if approved by MnDOT. Sections 9 and 10 deal with pedestrians and traffic control signals. Generally, they provide that the same rules that apply to red and green lights apply to red and green arrows, and they allow symbols to be used on pedestrian control devices rather than the words walk and don't walk. Section 11 allows MnDOT to designate exempt grade crossings on agreement by a railroad under existing law. There are specific standards for designation of exempt crossings. These are crossings where vehicles that are otherwise required to stop at all grade crossings are not required to stop. Section 12 exempts the Commuter Rail Corridor Coordinating Committee from the mandatory sunset law. Sections 13 and 14 deal with quiet zones, that is, zones where railroad signal, train whistles and signal, other signals may be restricted to reflect changes in federal law and rules. These would no longer be designated by cities and towns, but rather cities and towns would be able to apply to the Federal Railroad Administration for the establishment of quiet zones. Section 15 is a technical change directing the reviser of statutes to correct statutes to reflect the changes that were made earlier in the bill. Article 2 includes a number of provisions that were originally in bills that have been laid over for subsequent inclusion into the omnibus bill. Section 1 is Representative Hackbarth's bill to encourage road authorities to use low-maintenance native vegetation on highway right-of-way. Section 2 has already been deleted. Sections 3 and 4 went with a were from a bill introduced by Representative Blaine to designate part of Highway 371 as the Purple Heart Highway. Section 5 was a bill by Representative Lanning to designate the new Highway 10 bridge in Moorhead as Veterans Memorial Bridge. Section 6 was Representative Filthy's bill, part of that bill, to designate the Biaswa Bridge on Highway 23. Section 7 was a bill by Representative Nelson to conform the definition of commercial motor vehicle in traffic law to the federal definition. Section 8 was a bill by Representative Junkie to allow day activity center buses that are equipped with school bus warning signals and stop arms to use those signals and stop arms under specified circumstances. Section 9 was a bill by Representative Leader to allow an alternative slow-moving vehicle emblem. There will be an amendment forthcoming to make this language conform to the amendment that was adopted earlier in the session to that bill of Representative Leader's by the committee. Section 10 was part of Representative Nelson's bill to allow vehicles of five or more axles up to 80,000 pounds to go off non-designated routes up to 3 miles in order to seek facilities for food, fuel, and repair. Section 11 was part of Representative Nelson's bill requiring that if portable scales are used for truck weights, they must have signs giving notice of those scales within 2 miles of the weighing operation. Section 12 was also part of Representative Nelson's bill to allow local peace officers that are trained for weight enforcement to be used in state weight enforcement operations. Section 13, part of Representative Nelson's bill, incorporates federal definition of commercial motor vehicle into driver license law. Sections 14 and 15 are Representative Holberg's bill to extend the duration of learner's permits from 1 to 2 years. Section 16 was Representative Roof's bill to prohibit issuance of limited driver's licenses to certain persons who are not eligible for regular driver's licenses. Section 17 and 18 have been deleted from the amendment because they are in bills that have been referred to the Transportation Finance Committee. Section 19 was the second part of Representative Hilty's bill to designate the Roussein Cemetery in Duluth. Section 20 was Representative Roof's bill to delete obsolete provisions relating to the regulation of motor bicycle rental businesses.
Questions?
Representative Earhart, anything more? Questions of anybody?
Mr. Chairman, I think that I would move along to several other amendments.
Representative Earhart.
Okay. The first amendment, which is HL 9485A3, this is Representative Bruce's bill that we did yesterday.
We did yesterday, that's correct.
Yep, and we're adding this to Representative Ruth, if you'd like to move that, that would be helpful.
Yep, Mr. Chair, thank you. I'll move the A3 amendment to be included in the omnibus bill.
Any discussion on that amendment? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. That amendment is adopted. Next one, Representative Earhart. Is your A4?
This is a amendment that this was an error in not including by the revisers. It was a part of a later bill, and this is 584, and it should have been included, was not in. Representative Leader would probably help by moving.
You want to move the A4 amendment, Representative Leader?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll move the A4 amendment.
Discussion on that amendment. Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. That motion is adopted. The A5 amendment, Representative Earhart.
Okay. Mr. Williams, explain the A5.
This is a technical provision because this portion of the bill dealing with the designation of the Racine Cemetery refers specifically to the city of Duluth. The Constitution requires that it obtain local approval before taking effect, and this provision is notice to the city of Duluth that it must approve this provision, this particular section, before it takes effect.
Representative Earhart moves the A5 amendment. Any discussion on that? Seeing none, those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
The opposed, you say nay. That motion also is adopted. The A2 amendment, Representative Earhart.
The A2 amendment is a Representative Searson's bill that we did not hear, so I would let Representative Searson move the amendment 582 and speak to it.
Representative Searson, you want to move that amendment?
I would move the A5 amendment.
A2 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. This amendment clarifies Minnesota's mud flap statute and comes from a bill supported by Minnesota Trucking Association and the Associated General Contractors. Currently, the length of mud flaps is determined by a formula that is open to interpretation by both truckers and law enforcement. It also results in a mud flap that hangs too low on construction trucks and often gets ripped off. This new language is clear and will keep mud flaps on trucks, resulting in increased compliance and happy motorists. The State Patrol is consulted in crafting this language and is supportive of these efforts to clarify the language. And I would move approval of that amendment.
Questions, discussions on the A2 amendment? It's a lot easier to do it just as an amendment, isn't it, Representative Severson?
It's not easy. I'm going to take
learn from that. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
To oppose, say nay. That amendment is adopted. Any discussion at all, then, on House File 945 as amended and amended and amended? Representative Newman.
Procedural point, what are we going to be doing at this point?
We're going to move it to the General Register. Representative Newman.
Given that fact, then, Mr. Chair, provision of the omnibus bill that I really object to would be Section 16, which is the limited license fortune.
Page number, please, to help us out.
I haven't found it yet.
Okay.
Page 23.
I'm sorry.
Page 23, line 23.
Page 23, beginning at line 23. The objection that I had, with, if I recall the testimony correctly, was that this, this portion of the bill gives the commissioner the right to write the rules, determine when somebody is in violation, and, in effect, exact the punishment. And it seems to me that what we have is a situation where the bureaucracy is completely bypassing the court system. And everything is all wrapped up into a nice, neat little package. Unless I'm on the wrong bill. That was my understanding or interpretation of the testimony when it was given. And, you know, when I read the overview presented by House Research, it really looks good, but I really question the wisdom of allowing a single bureaucracy to write the rules, determine a violation, and then determine the enforcement or the punishment to be exact. I just don't know that that is a real good idea.
Well, Representative Ruth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As I understand it, there might be somebody here who would want to speak to it too from the agency, but that it would be going through the court system. That wouldn't be the commissioner that would have jurisdiction to do that. That's what I got from the testimony as they were testifying yesterday. Because I think you asked that question yesterday, and that was how they answered it. I understood it. No, I agree with you.
I did ask the question, and that was not my understanding. I simply, at this point, expressing my concern that I saw one of these last year involving the DNR where the same thing was happening. The bureaucracy is determining this as opposed to the legislature, the judicial branch, and the executive branch, and I just object to it.
Representative Cox.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had the same concern, but I thought I walked it through myself, but I'm not 100% sure. When I was looking at the bill on page 23 and line 18, where it refers to the person's license being suspended, I assumed that these sections of law were that it was through some type of judicial or court action, and then on line 20, the commissioner may issue the limited license if the people fall into one of these categories down here. I did not take it to mean that the commissioner was taking the license away.
Let's get some clarification from the department.
And Mr. Chair, members, my name is Larry Olawa. I'm the Vehicle Services Director for Driver Vehicle Services Division of Public Safety. I'm not the Driver Services Director, so I'm a little bit out of my element here. However, there were no other available people to attend today. My understanding on this is that this is for limited driver's license. This is when action has already been taken against somebody's driving privilege. It includes, somebody who has had action taken because they're drug dependent or there's a mental illness. Maybe they haven't passed the vision test or have been asked to pass the vision test and haven't supplied that information. And it's providing a limited license that would allow them to do things such as drive to work and so on. So it's not their driving privilege. It's the limited driver's license that we're looking at here, and it's for reasons that have a process to go through in order for that license to be at a stage where the driving privilege has been removed. And that's my understanding of it. So.
Representative Newman.
I'm not so much questioning whether we're dealing with driving privileges or whether we are dealing with a limited license. I'm questioning the procedure under which it is determined whether folks are going to get a limited license.
If I might, Representative Newman and Mr. Ola, maybe too. My understanding is that every one of us receives a license technically from the commissioner, but in fact, in these cases, it's a court of law that would revoke it and then issue the order to to put it back in place, and this stops anybody from usurping some of those court orders.
Mr. Chair and Representative, there may be situations where the court wouldn't get involved. For instance, if somebody hasn't passed the vision test. I mean, that would be something where somebody has maybe renewed their license, hasn't passed the vision test, would ask for proof of that vision test to be passed. It may be something that the court isn't involved with, although it may be too. So.
Mr. Williams, maybe you can enlighten us. Have you got any words of wisdom?
As has been noted, this provision deals only with limited driver's licenses, which are sometimes referred to as work permits. That is a license that is given to persons whose license has been revoked, usually because of an alcohol-related violation, and who have been given a limited license to allow them to go to and from work or school. The change in the law that's made by this section is to incorporate a number of provisions that are already in law with respect to persons who may be denied a regular driver's license. This section extends those same disqualifiers to persons applying for a limited license. The bill summary does give, on page 5 of the summary, the summary of Section 16 does give a brief summary of what these disqualifiers are. Some of them do involve a judicial determination, such as Clause 7, a person who has been adjudged legally incompetent. That is a judicial determination rather than a department determination. Other of these involve a determination by the Department of Public Safety, such as a determination that a person, it is a disqualifier if the commissioner has good reason to believe that the operation of a motor vehicle on the highways by the applicant would be inimical to public safety or welfare. The disqualifier would be any person when, in the opinion of the commissioner, the person is afflicted with or suffering from a physical or mental disability. This then goes back to rules of the Department of Public Safety that set out disqualifying medical conditions. So there are some provisions in here that do involve a determination by the courts, and some that involve a determination by the Department of Public Safety.
Representative Newman.
Let me try it this way. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is there anything in this particular law? We've got the commissioner who's going to deny somebody a work permit. And when I'm looking, for instance, at page 23, line 33, the commissioner may issue a limited license and impose such restrictions as in the commissioner's judgment. Mr. Williams just read a portion of the statute that talked about in the opinion of the commissioner. And I guess what I'm driving at is, is there anything in this law whereby a person who has had their work permit denied, is there an ability of that person to contest the commissioner's decision?
Mr. Williams?
Mr. Chairman, it will take me a few minutes to look up the provision of law. I believe that such a denial would be a contested case, but I am not certain.
Yeah, and
Representative Newman.
You know, I'm not trying to put Mr. Williams on the spot here. I'm simply trying to make sure that in the commissioner's opinion and in the commissioner's judgment, it's not final, that a person would have a right to disagree with the commissioner and contest the commissioner's decision. That's what I'm really trying to do.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Larson.
It's my experience, having dealt with a constituent who had a number of issues as it related to their limited license, that there is an appeals process in place within the department. And I talked to the representative from the department. He believes so, but we don't have the information here to point to it. But my experience is that there is, in fact, an appeals process. But that, in fact, the commissioner's discretion in these cases are important, oftentimes, for public safety. And someone at some time has to make a judgment
about allowing particular people to have a driver's license when the rest of the general welfare is at stake. And so, you know, I would speak in favor of the language that's in the bill, so that the commissioner has, and so that we have essentially a stronger law as it relates to public safety.
Mr. Ruth.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Ruth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Right, well, I would agree with, I mean, we are also making a call to Captain Erickson, so we can have some more defining information, but that's basically what he said yesterday, and I guess I was comfortable with what he had said, and it is certainly defined. Mr. Williams was looking that up, and it's very well defined as to what the actual limitations are.
Well, today is one of the days that we do have time, so we certainly can wait for Mr. Williams to get Representative Newman's concerns taken care of.
Maybe,
go ahead, Representative Newman.
Here, just to maybe speed things up, maybe Mr. Williams could get back to me on this, too. It's just that I don't want to be in a position where the commissioner has the final say. And I really suspect that there is an appeals process that's already in place. I just want to make sure.
You want to make sure it stays there.
I want to make sure it stays there. And so that's really the concern that I have. And perhaps Mr. Williams could get back with me. I mean, we're not going to, you know, we can vote this up. I'll go to the general register. I can always bring it up later
If you still have concerns.
If I still have concerns, yes. That's acceptable to me.
Yeah. Representative Ruth.
Mr. Chair, staff just gave me some more information, and I'll just read this part, but it was actually inadvertently removed. But I'll just read the description, and then you can, you know, take it from there. Clarify the commissioner's authority to deny a limited driver's license under Section 17130 to certain drivers, such as those canceled for being inimical to public safety under Section 171. The authority to deny was inadvertently removed during the recodification of the DWI laws when Chapter 169A was recodified in 2000. The Office of the Attorney General was advised the Division of Drivers and Vehicle Services that legislation is necessary to prevent potential legal challenges to the Commissioner's authority to deny a limited license. So apparently it was inadvertently removed in 2000, and they want to put it back in.
Representative Newman.
Representative Ruth, yes, I understand that, but that's not what I'm talking about. I mean, I'm not objecting to the commissioner being in a position to deny the work permit. Mm-hmm. What I am objecting to is if the commissioner has the final word on this, there has to be some kind of an appeals process to go to, ultimately into district court, if an individual disagrees with what the commissioner's decision is. That's, you see the distinction? I think that the commissioner should be in a position to deny his work permit. But I think that the citizen should have a right to contest the commissioner's decision, ultimately by going to court if need be.
Representative Earhart.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we're not making this new law, are we? We're repeating what is already in statute. So if in fact there is something that you disagree with, maybe that's for another time. But we have to. We're not inserting this as new law today.
Mr. Williams.
Mr. Chairman, this is what this section does is make a cross reference to existing law, which now specifies persons to whom a regular driver's license may not be issued. What this section does is put in some of those same disqualifiers with respect to the limited license that have been in place for many years with respect to regular driver's license.
Representative Newman.
For instance, Mr. Chair, line 24, beginning at line 36 and then on to page 25, it says the commissioner shall not issue a limited driver's license to any person described. And all I'm saying is that the person should have a right to contest that decision. And this is new law that is being proposed. At least it's underlined in the amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and this is a question for Mr. Williams. Is there anything in this language that denies the person who has been denied their right to access the court.
And
the
Mr. Chairman, Representative Larson, in my opinion, no.
Representative Newman, from my understanding with what Representative Ruth read us there, it in fact used to be and was inadvertently admitted, and on the recommendation of the Attorney General to DVS, it should go back in so that it precluded some challenges, and I understand where you're at. Are you comfortable with us moving this to the General Register and then staff, you, whatever, if in fact your concerns are valid, that we can deal with it on the floor? I think this committee would certainly, you know, we understand what your concerns are, and we would back you on that at that time.
I agree with that, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Other discussion on this bill? Hearing none, Representative Earhart renews his motion to pass House File 945 as amended to the General Register. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
If you oppose, you say nay. Motion prevails.
Okay. The next committee meeting will be at 9 a.m. on Friday, April 1. In room 10.
Oh.
And my note says we may go to noon. I guess we have the meeting room till noon. We'll try not to do that. Unless you would like to meet earlier. We could meet earlier.
Okay.
8:30?
8 o'clock.
Really?
Yeah.
Except right here.
I start 8:30 with you. I got a breakfast meeting. I have to go to myself.
Okay, 8:30.
Could we bring you breakfast,
please? Oh. Mr. Chairman.
You're bringing us breakfast?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
What substance of stuff are we going to be handling? Because I know that at least Representative Anderson will be gone with a conflict. He has a committee that he will be chairing that morning, starting at 9 a.m. too. So
he and Representative Simon. I don't know what the list is.
Do we anticipate we've got anything highly controversial or? I guess just so that we know where Representative Simon is and Representative Anderson, so if we need them for votes, so we can. Representative, okay.
8:30?
All right, 8:30. Do we do that all right?
Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay. Well, I'll see everybody at 8:30. Thank you for passing 9:45 and your exercise. Yeah. Exercise.
Yeah.
Thanks.